the meme. Chase that dream, not the meme. Chase that dream, not the meme.
Welcome to Dreams Not Memes podcast.
Hello everyone, this is another episode of Dreams Not Memes. I'm here with my friend Andre Frigo, based in Budapest, Hungary. Today we're going to talk to Andre about his experiences as an artist and a creator. How's it going?
Hey Brian, thanks for having me.
Anytime, anytime. So what was it like growing up in Budapest?
So yeah, it's a really interesting city to live in. I mean, Hungary in general is definitely a must visit if you want to basically end up like in a quaint kind of city vibe where nobody really knows you or nobody really cares about you. Like, I'm referring to some stories from famous American celebrities that they usually come here to visit, because even if people kind of recognize them on the street, they're not really gonna care, they're not gonna run after them. But yeah, for me growing up here as a local, I don't know, I can't really say anything outstanding like or amazing, because it's really your typical Central Eastern European country with really nice architecture, somewhat interestingly behaving people, and I mean, we've been kind of featured a lot in the news these past couple of years thanks to our Prime Minister, but let's not get too political here. But basically, yeah, what I'm trying to say is that, yeah, growing up here in general was a pretty good time. Like, I had a 1 year break from the country actually when I was about 8-9 years old. Thanks to my father's endeavors, I was able to spend a year abroad in the Netherlands. Basically, that's where I learned English. And yeah, I guess what I'd say is that coming back was kind of a culture shock at the time, mainly because I attended an international school in the Netherlands, and then obviously you're going to end up meeting different cultures when you go to an international school. But then, you know, when you come back home and then you're only surrounded by locals mainly, that's gonna obviously cause some discord. So overall, I can't really say anything negative, or I mean, I could if I want to, but you know, I think everybody has like these diverse like range of how one can experience childhood, for example. And of course, I guess I could say I was born into, you know, a relatively well-off middle-class family. My father was an English teacher, my mom was a speech therapist, and I spend most of my time here in the capital, and I think that's all that came to my mind.
No, I hear that, and I appreciate you like sharing this, you know, objective view, like whether you wanted to be on the negative side or the positive side, that's here or there. But like, how did, you know, growing up inform your interest in art and creativity?
Yeah, I guess the very first time that I had a connection with music was, I think, 4 or 5 years old. My parents owned a lot of classical music records, and we actually used to listen to them on vinyl. And I think it was Peter and the Wolf. And I distinctly remember that we had like a little cupboard in our flat, And whenever the wolf came on, I would just hide in that cupboard and then only come out later when the when that part of the of the of the piece was like over. So that was probably the earliest that's probably my earliest musical memory that I have. Also, for some very strange reason, I distinctly remember listening to a lot of Beatles and Pink Floyd when I was a kid. Probably not something that kids should be listening to, by the way, but...
You're completely right. I mean, so many of us just around the world, I think like in your late 20s, 30s, and even 40s, like I think that range of people, a lot of us listen to a lot of music that metaphorically was not okay for children. But
yeah, because you don't understand it. Yeah, because the things don't really register. But
yeah,
to be fair, I mean, in my defense, I was a kid. So so yeah, for me, I guess it was it really boiled down to emotions, what the music kind of made me feel. And yeah, for this really weird reason, for example, I really liked the Atom Heart Mother Suite from Pink Floyd, because yeah, it had these movements, you know, like the female choir singing, like that was like really amazing to me, like as a kid. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's so ironic thinking about it now, like if I compare that to what music I'm making now, it's like it's got like no connection whatsoever.
True.
It's hilarious.
True.
In a way, thinking about it.
So what type of creations do you make, and what type of music do you also make?
Yeah, so what actually kind of started me on the route to start making my own music, ironically enough, was listening to the Arctic Monkeys on MTV.
Okay,
back in 2006 when they were just blowing up. I remember we were on like a vacation, like a family vacation, and we were watching MTV with my sister in the hotel. And then I think View from the Afternoon came up. And was like, oh my God, these guys are so amazing. And also they're so friggin' young. Like, wow, I'd really want to do the same. Like, I'd really want to be in a band playing music. And then simultaneously, I was already kind of starting to learn guitar. So I think I had an interest in the instrument, but not as much until that point when I actually saw the Arctic Monkeys and I was like, yeah, I have to make a band. I want to play in a band. And then, you know, the funny thing is like I went to multiple private teachers throughout the years, and then primary school went by, high school went by, and then I never really got the chance to actually be in a band. Like there were a few attempts here and there, but then it especially started picking up when I was in university. And even then I never really felt confident enough in my skills to actually, for example, do solos or do chords or any of that kind. So yeah, this is a funny recurring thing. And I actually wanted to say, like, to quote that infamous line that I'm probably gonna butcher right now, but yeah, you found me at a very, very funny time in my life, because yeah, my relationship with music has been so strangely evolving these past couple of years. And obviously I'm gonna try and elaborate on what I mean by that. But basically, so yeah, I had a couple of attempts in university, some other people's projects I participated in, basically, either as a rhythm guitarist or even a synth player. And yeah, those never really took off. Like I quit after a certain period of time because I felt like it's really not worth putting in all that effort, and then I barely got anything back. So yeah, this sounds a bit selfish, but basically, yeah, I felt like I'm not really progressing anywhere. So then, after that band kind of went out of the picture, I think I was around 18, and then I finally decided to do something on my own for real, for a change. And I had this idea circulating in my head, but I never really got around to actually sitting down and writing a song, writing lyrics. So it was this strange, constant thinking about wanting to do something, but actually never really got around to doing it, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got my BA degree, basically I got a scholarship of some sorts to Japan to study for one semester in Tokyo. And then the university had this curriculum where they basically had this like extracurricular activity where you could do whatever you want. So randomly, I just found this music club and I joined them. And that was the first time like I felt that, okay, this band thing could actually work, because I was finally surrounded by people who, unlike me, were actually dedicated enough to master their craft, master their instruments. And yeah, that was such a fun time. Like, we actually had a concert. I was mainly singing there. I did some rhythm guitar, of course. But yeah, that was somehow that was like an entirely different experience altogether as to what I experienced here back home. And then again, I was thinking like, okay, this was great. Now I'm back in Budapest. Of course, I felt a bit depressed coming back. But then I decided like, okay, I seriously want to start my own solo journey. So when university ended, before going to Japan, I actually did release an album. It was called English Garden. And basically it was just a collection of these random noises and unfinished ideas. So yeah, that's actually not even on Spotify either, but that was like my first endeavor at making music and releasing it on my own. And yeah, that was, well, it is what it is, basically. It's pretty much the most DIY sounding thing I've probably ever done these past couple of years. But yeah, I realized like looking back throughout all these years, it's basically part of a big learning curve, and it's still something that I'm trying to wrap my head around. So yeah, it started with English Garden. I went to Japan. I played in a band there, two bands actually, because I also had an English student who wanted me to sing in a one-off Beatles tribute. So that's when the Beatles comes back, actually. So I was singing Beatles covers like a couple of days just before I flew back to Hungary. And then I started thinking that, okay, all these experiences that I had in Japan, it would be nice to kind of commemorate it somehow and then do another release. But then I just kept on sitting on my thumbs and not really doing much until 2015 rolled around, when I actually got around to releasing an extended play, which was then called Lounge Act. So this was my first attempt when I tried to actually sound a bit better, I guess. But yeah, it didn't really get any traction whatsoever, even though the bedroom producing era was probably a lot more prevalent at that time. So we're talking about 2015, 2014. But yes. That EP did not really get that much attention. And then simultaneously, I got invited to this talent show called Hungary's Got Talent.
Okay.
So that probably says a lot. Well, obviously, I realized that Hungary's got no talent. But I met a really interesting guy there. He also has his own solo project called Sungazers. So I got together with this guy, and we formed a new outfit called Pixel Cranes. And that was actually the first time I really felt like I'm connecting with another human being on an artistic level. We were actually pretty fruitful for our roughly 3 years tenure, because now we're both kind of drifted away and we're doing our own thing. But basically, through those 3 years, so from 2015 to 2018, well, give or take 19 as well, we basically recorded two extended plays and one album. And we actually did perform a handful of times, both in Budapest and in this other smaller town in Hungary called Szeged. It's a lovely little place, by the way. Highly recommend anyone visiting. So we did that. Then we kind of went our separate ways. Simultaneously, in 2016, I actually released another album called The Waiting Room, which for me at that point kind of meant retaining the this instrumental aesthetic that I started off on, basically with English Garden. That's the thing. Like I could never really get myself to write lyrics. I find it personally hard to express my own feelings. Actually, I've been kind of struggling with that for a very long time. I think I still do. But I somehow felt like it's just I'm just better off if I just try to paint with soundscapes or with synth pads. So that's what I basically did, for example, on The Waiting Room. It's basically an instrumental album from start to finish. There's like one off spoken word, overly heavily reverbed vocals, like sitting at the very, very back, like in the last song. But yeah, I kind of found it hard to sing about something. So even with Pixel Cranes, mainly my bandmate Gergő wrote the lyrics. I mean, there were occasionally times when I contributed like a handful of songs, but listening back to them now, what I found is that they were just really overly depressive and I sounded like an angsty teen. So despite being well in my 20s already by that time. So I could never really get around to making myself to write lyrics that are, I don't know, more mature. I don't know if you had similar struggles like this along the years down the line.
I have, you know, I could definitely say like A Day Without Love as a project started off as like what we call emo. It's very sad. It was very self-absorbing, but I still try to like get that hope of like things will get better. And also like in my life wasn't better. I mean, I literally started A Day Without Love like as a word because I saw a spousal abuse incident happen outside of my college dorm, and I stopped that, wrote a poem, and I didn't have any like thoughts or dreams of like pursuing music. But years later, I was homeless, like in grad school. I was like you know, getting this advanced degree, but I couldn't like live in my home because a hurricane happened and it was like all this other stuff. And I was sleeping on a bench in Times Square in in Manhattan. And wow. And this man almost urinated on me. Like literally, I woke up and I was just like, dude, what are you doing? Pushed him away physically. And also like, you know, also homeless, but of a different degree, not to shame anyone. And I ran away, was ashamed. Then I got back to my like campus, and I thought to myself, was like, that was A Day Without Love. And like A Day Without Love is like the day that you like don't love yourself. And I think my first two records were like really sad because like life itself wasn't fun. And then like when life got better, you know, you're continually improving, I think I started to write not happier songs, but more existential, experiential songs about other topics, you know? So I definitely relate to that whole like journey of like trying to discover yourself in the way that you express yourself sonically as well as lyrically. But let's take a quick break and then continue this conversation.
Message. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Dreams.Memes. Please make sure to follow Dreams.Memes podcast on your preferred streaming channel or on Instagram at Dreams.Memes podcast. To support Dreams.Memes podcast, feel free to contact me at adaywithoutlove@gmail.com for advertising or sponsorship opportunities. Now, let's get back to the show.
All right, now we're back. So continuing where we left off, I just want to know, like, as a creator, what was it like shifting to these different gears and, like, where are you today, like, in terms of what you're creating? Because, like, you know, being born and raised in Budapest, having influences from people like Pink Floyd, The Beatles, playing in Japan, working with a friend, and being able to shape your sound in different ways has to be like a mix of trial and error, but also like, let me see how many different ways I could like express myself. And you know, you mentioned earlier, like you have troubles doing that, but at the same time, you're going through different avenues, and that's very impressive. So like just reflecting on that, like what has that been like, and what are you working on today?
Yeah. Actually, the phrase came to my mind regarding this. It's basically fuck around, find out.
Exactly. No, exactly.
Yeah, that's, I guess, now that I'm reflecting on this, I think that's the perfect, that's the best way to describe my musical journey so far is fuck around, find out. So, yeah. Let me continue a bit with the timeline. So yeah, where we left off. So I released that second album titled The Waiting Room. And after that, fast forward to 2018, and I released a compilation album titled Memory Lane 5. And this was like the first album where I even had some guest musicians, singers show up. And that was more of a collaborative effort. And I think that was the first instance when I actually found, well, actually, I wouldn't even say first, that sounds stupid. But I think that was when I first rediscovered that I don't actually have to work completely alone on my music, if that makes any sense.
Oh, it totally does.
If you actually have a handful of people or really good friends who you connect on multiple levels, then it's so much easier to be a bit more open, to actually be able to share yourself in the music. And then I'd really need to fast forward to this year, because what's really interesting with my solo stuff is that after Memory Lane, I immediately started brainstorming about trying to come up with like an anniversary album, because by that time it's been a lot of years that I've been more or less invested in making music. I mean, I'm obviously not counting the failed attempts when I was fooling around in virtual DJ and remixing songs and the like, back when I was a teenager. But yeah, basically after Memory Lane 5 got released, I was like, yeah, okay, I definitely want to make an anniversary album. And then I started thinking, yeah, but what would that be really about? Like, I've occasionally scribbled lyrics here and there. Like, I have a dedicated notebook actually for writing down these thoughts, but I looked at them and I was like, yeah, this is like really trash. Like, I don't really want to sing about these things or even write about these things or yeah, put them on record. And then I couldn't really think of any way to actually materialize these songs, like to put them into form. And then obviously COVID happened, and then shortly afterwards I pretty much went into this self-loathing spiral that I'm still kind of trying to get out of. And basically, yeah, I had a handful of ideas recorded throughout the years. I had some ideas recorded like way back when, from like 9 years ago or 8 years ago. And I was thinking like, you know what? I finally started going to therapy. I kind of started to come to terms with my own little demons that I'm facing, like regarding music. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to do this once again, almost entirely on my own. And then this year, on Valentine's Day, ironically, I released the album titled Closure. And this one is I started the build up, basically. The concept of this album was going through the oldest songs I could find from 8-9 years ago, and then actually work a bit on them. And listening back to this album now, like, it's been what, a couple of months since it has been available online. Basically, I found that, yeah, the title is perfect, because it's kind of putting a full stop at something that I've been kind of struggling with, like literally making music on my own and not really feeling content or satisfied with the results. But this time I was like, yeah, this is it. This is me. This is me coming to terms with my own little shortcomings, and kind of, in a way, also accepting myself, like as a wannabe artist or a creator, basically. But this is only the solo stuff. So I did mention that I had this endeavor called Pixel Cranes. We actually did a one-off song in 2019. We actually did manage to sort of kind of release a remix album in 2020, like right before COVID really hit. And then simultaneously, I got together with another guy whom I know from the same friend circle in Szeged. And we got together because he moved up to Budapest. And then we formed the electronic bedroom producer duo called Known Bug. And that project has put me in an entirely different direction, not only musically, but also artistically as a person. Because finally, I truly felt like I don't have to necessarily come up with everything myself. I can also actually just sit back a little and only contribute instruments or ideas relating to sound. And it felt actually good, kind of letting go of the reins and, you know, just letting things happen. And in 2019, we actually released an 8-song album titled Fuckboy's Anxiety.
Oh, what a title.
Yeah, ironically enough, we're really into memes, so we kind of rolled along, and that's the title we came up with. And and yeah, basically it just started off as just the two of us hanging out after work, getting some drinks, blowing off some steam. And then we ended up with an 8-song album. And the reception to that was actually so great that a year later, we were actually found by this guy who organizes a festival in rural Hungary, in between the winemaking county of Tokaj, that he's organizing a little festival, and he really wants us to perform there. And that was like a true shocker, because this was the first time that I was not running after people for a real opportunity to actually perform live. So the journey with Known Bug has been a really interesting one so far, like in true fuck around, find out fashion. Because at the same time, you know, this is more or less electronic music. It's not the kind of thing that is so easy to implement in a live setup. I mean, even though if there are, you know, guitars or bass guitars featured, it's still mainly electronic music. So
yeah,
of course there are so many bands around the world who effortlessly perform similar styled songs in front of an even wider audience. But for us, it's been like a really nice learning curve, especially looking back now, that in a way this is still kind of fun. And despite my own little personal demon infighting from time to time, I still find it, you know, such a great thing to do, like making music. So And yeah, I mean, now that I think about it, we're actually working on releasing our second album, hopefully this year, knock on wood. That one's going to be titled... That one's going to be titled Soft Boys Anxiety, actually.
Okay, so we go from fuck boys to soft boys. I get that. No, I respect that. I respect the trend.
Yeah. We have this thing going on. So we're kind of just going along with it at this point. So yeah, it's pretty funny looking back at it now. Like, yeah, we got invited to the middle of nowhere, like in a small like a vineyard, performing in front of, like, I don't know, like 6-7 people, and then we got invited to actually like a club in Budapest, and then we had like full house. So this year, actually. So yeah. But yeah, it's what I'm trying to take away, I guess, from all of this is that, yeah, like every single person probably has insecurities and whatnot and doubts and inner demons that they need to face. But at the end of the day, you know, it's something you just gotta keep on doing. Otherwise you're going to question like the meaning of your existence. Like, why are you even doing this then if you're not really if you're not having a good time in the process? So yeah, in a way, closure was, well, coming to terms with myself. And honestly, I actually have no idea how am I even going to continue my solo endeavors, like what the future holds. I don't really know, but yeah, I still have this feeling like I still need to like remain in part of making music, because despite all these shortcomings, I still have a good time. So yeah, it's last year and this year is basically me trying to fuck around and find out some more. So
I appreciate this theme and just like you sharing your story, because, like, you know, regardless of what you do, and I think musicians feel it harder just because of the way music works and other creators like photographers, filmmakers, artists, you have to fall in love with, I put this in quotes, failure, or you have to fall in love with the idea that you could put in the least amount of effort or the most amount of effort and the results will still vary. And like, yeah, there's a lot of people on the internet that try to sell you lies. Like, if you do this, you'll find success. Or if you buy this thing, you'll find success. But that's not really what like long-term growth or understanding of yourself feels like. Like creating, at least to me, is a lot like how you feel. Like you have to have a relationship with yourself so that the relationship with the art that you create feels healthy, it feels good. And then like, it's so easy, especially for us solo artists, to feel like we're an island, but we're not. And the more we realize that we're not an island, the more we realize like less emotional work needs to be put upon us. So I just wanna say thank you for your time and sharing that insight, because that's just a really good reminder for so many artists that are like, trying to figure out like, how can I be the person or the artist that I'm meant to be? Because I think the idea of the best isn't real. Cause like you could be Definitely. The best today, like you can be the best today. And then next thing you know, someone better than you comes up, like, you know, but you can be the best at being yourself. And I think that involves having a healthy relationship with the music you're creating. So yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. And reiterating on your thought on things people try to sell to you online. Yeah, definitely. Like it's safe to say that I, for example, I fell victim to these ideas as well. Like I remember Instagram bombarding me with advertisements like, yeah, pitch us your song. You know, you just gotta pay, I don't know, $50 for 1K plays on Spotify. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, sounds amazing. Yeah, let's do it. And then I actually paid once and I was like, wow, okay. I did get some plays, like what, 200? And then, exactly, and then, yeah. And then, ironically, 3 months later, I checked the analytics again, and then they were gone. So wow. It was like probably a bot farm or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, moral of the story, kids, is don't do payola. It literally doesn't help. Like, I mean, this also is kind of like cliche sounding concept. Like just be yourself, because.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for people with insecurities, like, you can't really tell them that, you know, like, they're just gonna feel bad. So sure. I think what I'd want to add to this sentiment is like, yeah, just fuck around and find out. And then, yep. You know, you don't really have to pressure yourself. Like, I mean, like, what are the expectations in reality? Like, of course, you can have expectations against yourself. Like, oh yeah, I want to be successful. I want to be famous. I mean, yeah, there's a chance that eventually you'll get there. But then again, yeah, like you said, results may vary. So yeah, you might not get famous at all. But, you know, during that time, you can still think of the energies that, or the feelings that you felt while you were collaborating with friends or making music. And, you know, at the very end of the day, I mean, this is a really true sentiment. Like, music connects people. So, you know, it's part of the human experience. And I think that's a really beautiful thing. And we should really try to cherish this more than just chasing the clout on social media and things like that. I mean, speaking of social media, actually, there were times for me when I felt just so full and so depressed that I actually did these cleanses of some sorts, when I actually just deleted the apps from my phone, I suspended my accounts. And then, yeah, I lived like this anti-digital hermit for a couple of months. And you know, the funniest thing is, when I actually got back after 4 months, the first thought that I had in my mind was like, wow, I didn't miss a thing. Like, there's nothing you can really miss. I mean, apart from your friends, obviously, but, you know, from all the targeted ads and everything else that basically the algorithm is trying to tailor to your tastes and needs, is like, it's all just a gigantic facade that basically what social media kind of is to me at this point. So, It's a really interesting thing, like coming to terms with this, and then at the same time trying to figure myself out, trying to figure out my relationship to music. So it's a fuck around and find out.
Yep. So. I just want to say to everyone listening, thank you for listening to me and Andre's conversation. And remember, whatever you're doing, get good at it and fuck around and find out.
Yes. By all means, please do.
Yeah.
Don't let the big man grind you down.
Amen.
Hi, this is Brian from A Day Without Love. Thank you for listening to Dreams Not Memes. I just want you to remember, your dreams matter. If you'd like to support this podcast, email adaywithoutlove@gmail.com for donation information, or follow me for weekly episodes. Thank you for listening and joining my journey. Have
have a good day.